You are listening to Think Theory Radio.
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 Radio. Radio. Radio.
Hello and welcome to Think Theory Radio, the show that brings you topics outside the mainstream realm of thought and ideas to make you think. And I'm your host, Damian Perdue, your guide on this crazy ride of audio delights. And of course, I'm joined by Pauly C.
Yo, yo, yo.
Today, the C stands for conspiracy. And, yeah, that's, we haven't done a specific conspiracy theory show in a while. And I have a really fun one, kind of a weird and wacky one, although they're all kind of weird and wacky.
Weird and wacky.
Weird and wacky conspiracy theory.
It's not that wacky. It's wacky, but
it's kind of wacky.
I guess it's wackier than what it sounds like, though. And it is.
Yes. It is a maritime law conspiracy.
Maritime law conspiracy.
It totally sounds like something official in a way, you know, which it is. I mean, there is actually maritime law, but and this is actually, I'd give a shout out to ex-WCPT producer Dennis Shutter, because he put me up on this conspiracy theory that I had not known about several years ago. And
Dr. D.
Dr. D. It's it's very interesting. There's, and as I was looking up more information on it, it was like the, you know, the bunny well got deeper. That's my new term.
The bunny well.
The bunny well.
Not the rabbit hole.
Right. You know, got to switch it up.
Hey, but I like that better, because like a rabbit hole just sounds like you're getting into like clumps of dirt and roots and stuff. Yeah. But like the bunny well sounds like, you know, like you're going to be, you know, pulling stuff out. You know, you're going to be,
you know, exactly.
Like there's resources in there for you. So I like it. Let's go with it.
The water might be murky, but, you know, you'll pull some out for you. The muddy waters.
From the bunny well.
And, yeah, so it's, as I was getting into it and looking up more, you know, information on it, it's like that bunny well got deeper and deeper and deeper, and that water got more and more murky. And it's interesting because it's something that, like, most people have never heard of. You know, if you talk to people, I mean, you have certain conspiracies, you know, JFK, 9/11, that most people know about. But this one, it's, you know, most people would never heard of the maritime law, or admiralty law, I guess is the other term for it. But there's a lot of people that believe in it,
I assume that there was some sort of maritime law, you know, had to be like law of the sea. And like,
exactly,
you know, you talk about like international waters, there has to be some sort of rules in play, I would think. But but you're saying that there's like a whole thing, though.
Oh,
like
whole. And what's interesting is how many people like actually believe in it. I think they, the like Southern Poverty Law Center and the FBI, because I think they, some of the groups that believe in it, because you have like some of the militias, the Bundys were, you know, kind of believing in this.
You're talking about with Ammon Bundy and his, what, like the
I was talking about Al and Peg.
Yeah, right. Al. Yeah, no. But yeah, the Bundys out
Polk
west.
Eyes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Polk Eyes, Al Bundy, who famously scored four touchdowns against. But let's not let let's
the not Bundys. Yeah, yeah. No.
Ammon Bundy and I forgot the other guy's name, but
the father, son, and brothers, the ones that had the standoff with the federales.
At the like, wildlife refuge in Oregon or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. Send cigarettes and underwear. Yeah. I'm sorry. I got to laugh.
Let it out, man. Let it out.
That's American history.
I'm proud of you for remembering that. That's pretty good.
Oh, good heavens.
Yeah. So anyway, so there's
but
a bunch of...
Of course they believe in some sort of like, you know, like, no, we believe in this made up stuff, this maritime law.
Yeah. So, but, and then it gets into like all these other subsects of different groups of people that I'll get into later on, you know, because I thought it was just kind of a vague belief system that people have, but there's actually like groups of people that are like really into this. So they estimate like 500,000 people believe in this. And basically, in a nutshell, maritime law conspiracy is that there was a point in time where, they say in 1871, that the United States became a corporation, right?
Okay.
And that ever since then, they've been lying to us, and that all our laws are actually maritime laws, And it all has to do with like international banking system and all these different kind of code words. And that we're not actually, we haven't had a president, that they're all just CEOs because it's a corporation.
More or less. Yeah.
There's elements of this stuff that I'm like, makes sense.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, so there's people that actually, it originally started off with the sovereign citizen movement, which I'll get into in a little bit. But there's people that use this kind of sovereign citizen to try to get out of court cases or try to get out of parking tickets or whatever. And they'll use, you know, all these different kind of legalese to try to, you know, thinking that they're going to, I don't know, like not confuse the court, but show the judge that, you know, who's boss, like they know what's really going on. But no one has ever successfully won a case doing this. As far as I've looked up, I could not find one where like legitimately the person got out of a court case. And in fact, I think it adds to their detriment because I read a couple different articles about like someone who I don't need my lawyers, you know, I'm a sovereign citizen and I don't abide by these maritime laws. And
you think they'd have some maritime lawyers that could.
Right. Right. Like,
hold on. I passed the bar. I know how to work this.
Yeah. Right. But then they try to, you know, represent themselves and they end up getting more time because mm-hmm. it's just the judge is like, you don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. You're wasting the court's time.
Mm hmm. And so like this, so the sovereign citizen movement, and of course, like every good conspiracy theory, right, it has to start with like white supremacists, you know,
yeah, yeah.
Or at least some form of, you know, kind of racist, anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish or
the ball movers of the 19th century. You know, if you wanted to get mm-hmm. something done, you had to be really racist.
Well, it's interesting, too. That I was thinking about
the law. I know who to talk to.
Yeah. But it's funny that like you got the cats that like you had like kind of a belief that, oh, you know, the Jews are secretly running the world. But it's like, yeah, but yet it's really the white man that's running
yeah.
the world.
Yeah.
You know? So. So the sovereign citizen movement is a loose like group of basically American litigants, commentators, tax protesters, and financial scheme promoters. This is according to Wikipedia. And it's, I guess it started, some say, early 1900s, like 1909, people started claiming this. And this was, it tied into this whole belief system that, you know, it's the international banking system, you know, Jews are running the world, you know, this is why we're, you know, abiding by international law. So it's like you have common law, which is the law of the land, and then you have maritime law, which is like international law. So how you can do, you know, in one country, you can do something that you can't do in another country. Well, that's those countries' specific land laws, right? Mm-hmm. But then there's international law, which is maritime law that all countries abide by. And so it gets into this whole thing. But then, you know, that's how it started. But nowadays, it's various racial ideologies, big variety of people that believe in this. And there's all these different subsects. I even found one, you know, where they tied in aliens to this, too. So I was like, this is great. You have alien stuff. There's occult. There's a lot of occult symbolism found in, you know, that they believe that, you know, which is kind of true in a lot of sense. I mean, if you look at everything that's within our governmental system, as far as like symbols that they use, definitely come from ancient Egyptian or Roman symbols or, you know, different. What do you call those? Like, you know, different drawings or whatever, you know, like diagram, like
hieroglyphics or
not like, hieroglyphics, like the, you know, kind of the round crests,
like
different
oh.
crests.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Yeah, I got you. Okay.
And so it's true. I mean, you look at the dollar, there's the pyramid on there with the eye. I mean, mm-hmm. it's, you know, the eye of providence, like there's a lot of this stuff, but it gets into this whole thing too, about like how the American flag. So if you ever watch any, you know, most court TV or anytime the president speaks, he always has an American flag that has the gold fringe on it.
Yeah, okay.
Now, that's supposed to represent maritime law, that fringe, the gold fringe, was from the Navy.
Okay.
Now, I tried to look it up. I couldn't find anything specific that ties it to that. What I read is just it was a kind of a, you know, a military just kind of decoration from what I saw. I couldn't find anything that really tied it into the Navy or maritime, and it didn't seem to be specific to any certain kind of court. Like, it doesn't have to be the Supreme Court or anything. It's just kind of if they like a flag with the gold trim, the gold fringe. But according to this maritime law conspiracy, the gold fringe represents, you know, admiralty and represents this this maritime belief system. And it's all, you know, an illusion. And like, and it gets, we'll get into like the kind of the word symbolism, that there's a long list of words that we use and speak that supposedly come from this. And so, and I don't know that if every person who's like the sovereign citizen movement, there's the more modern version is the freemen on land. If they believe in all the kind of occult stuff about it, or if they're just using it as a way to get out of, you know, whatever kind of court, you know, legal problems they have.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to like kind of draw in, you know, like I said, it is kind of more mixed nowadays racially, but it definitely seems to appeal to more kind of middle-aged white guy who's like kind of down on his luck and probably has a bunch of legal problems and trying to get it, find a way out of it.
I know a loophole with no accountability.
Yeah. And then, you know, but then they get brought, you know, they get brought into all these like seminars, and I'm sure nowadays, you know, YouTube videos, and they start believing this movement. They go to court and they start, you know, there's this whole thing about, you know, the way you spell words. So like if it's all capitals, that means, you know, something different than if you use upper and lowercase letters. Like they say that when you see, you know, United States in all capitals, it's that's representing the corporation and not representing the country. So there's the United States of America, upper lowercase, that's the country. And then United States in capital letters, that's the corporation.
Okay.
And that when you're born, your birth certificate, there's numbers on there, right?
Yeah.
And a part of those numbers are actually a stock that represents you. So they incorporate you as an individual when you're born so they can like buy and sell you on the stock exchange.
Yeah, that's funny because I told my wife, I was like, oh, my stock went up when we got married. So now I could probably look into that.
Right. You got to look up your birth certificate number. So that's a really interesting one right there that you're, you know, which, again, it's not that hard to not believe it, you know, because, I mean, you think of the way this country is and how much, you know, capitalism plays a part and how greedy these corporations are, how greedy a lot of these politicians are. It wouldn't surprise me if there's somebody, hey, you know what, if we put these numbers in, we could actually turn them into a stock and we can buy and sell them on the stock exchange. So, you know, I'd like to know how much I'm worth. Can I sell myself at some point? You know, before my stock depreciates after this show.
Can we be non-fungible too? Or is
right,
that a...
there you go. Right? I want to be my own crypto. Mm-hmm. I am crypto.
Yeah. We're living NFTs, man.
Yeah. But it's like we were talking before the show and you brought up like these corporations that buy insurance policies out on people, you know, without their knowledge. So that the person dies, they can cash in on a bunch of money.
I forgot which Michael Moore movie that was. It wasn't Sicko. It was... the capitalism, a love story.
Okay.
I think. Yeah.
But, you know, so like that's kind of similar in a way. So it wouldn't surprise me if there's some truth to it. You know, I always think there's like a, you know, there's always little kernels of truth in all of these conspiracies. You know, you just have to find them. You have to dig deep. You have to go down that bunny well and really dig it out.
Yeah. It's like a disinformation campaign from the, you know, the truth or whatever of like, hey, they can't know about this, but they're a little hip to it, so we'll just kind of steer them in the wrong direction on it.
Yep.
I don't know. That's my speculation of, you know, the kernel of truth.
Mm.
They're in on it too, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I am. You know, I'm in on it. That's why. No. You know, I'm a conspiracy theory enthusiast. Not a conspiracy theorist per se. And actually, you know what? Let's take a break first.
Okay.
And then we'll get to some calls.
Get to that call.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to take a break. If you want to jump in on this conversation, give us a call at 773-763-9278. That's 773-763-WCPT. We'll be back with more Think Theory Radio in a bit. Welcome back to Think Theory Radio. This is Damien, and today we're talking about the maritime law conspiracy. We're all living under maritime law, and if you can figure it out, you can free yourself. I was even watching a video. This guy was saying that that's why the Statue of Liberty is actually on water, that they couldn't put it on land because when a sailor comes into port, he has liberty, but not freedom. He doesn't have the freedom to do stuff on land, but he has liberty. And that's why the Statue of Liberty is on the water. Supposedly. It's all part of this stuff. Before we get back into sovereign citizens and some of the maritime law wordings, that's what I but like. It might take up the whole show just reading all the words that we use and we don't know where they come from. Let's take a phone call. We got Jim in Chicago. What's going on, Jim?
Oh, hi, guys. I'm thinking about a program I saw where the United States actually owns trillions of dollars worth of ocean. Now, how they measure that, I don't know. And the Russians own their section of ocean. I imagine the Chinese own their, you own it until somebody else takes it. But they actually have a dollar amount. They mentioned a dollar amount. It was in the trillions, the ocean that we own.
Huh.
And, I mean, it's a value that, you're talking about a mystery. I mean, who would, how would you evaluate that every year, the droughts, if they ever figure
out? Well, it's probably, probably to get all the natural resources down there. It's probably, the fracking and everything, so.
I think that
there's money to be found down there. There's gold in their waters.
That's it, guys. All right, guys, you have a good week.
All right, Jim, take care.
Thanks, Jim.
So, real quick to kind of recap a little bit. So, you got the sovereign citizens is kind of what started this maritime law conspiracy. They believe that not judges, juries, law enforcement, or elected officials should decide which laws to obey and which to ignore. Most sovereign citizens also don't believe they should have to pay taxes. They go to court and they do these indecipherable filings and. They actually, they do acts of paper terrorism, I guess, by filing all these crazy papers and just clogs up time, but they actually have lashed out and acts of deadly violence have happened, usually against government officials. I was reading, it says in May 2010, there was a father-son team of sovereigns murdered two police officers with an assault rifle when they were pulled over on the interstate. In West Memphis, Arkansas. And I saw another one where there's some huge protest out in Boston. It was thousands of them out there. So the roots of the movement are, like I said, have some racism, anti-Semitic ties. It was founded by William Potter Gale, former member of the John Birch Society. Potter formed a group of anti-government Christian identity adherents who mistrusted state and federal officials. They believed that non-white people were not human and that Jews possessed a satanic plot to take over the world. They identified themselves as Posse Comitatus, which is Latin for power of the county, and centered around the idea that county sheriffs are the highest governmental authority. Posse Comitatus, if I'm saying that right, is based on the Sheriff's Act of 1887, which allows sheriffs to form a posse that would assist them in hunting down and arresting criminals. Potter's posse, believe they served under common law, laws based on their interpretation of the Bible, rather than civil law, legitimate laws formed by American legal system. The activities of Potter's posse, many of them crimes, included refusal to pay taxes, filing property liens, committing violence against public officials. Now, the contemporary sovereign belief system is based on the decade-old conspiracy theory. They believe that American government set up by the founding fathers under common law legal system was secretly replaced. They think the replacement government swapped common law for admiralty law or maritime law, which is the law of the sea and international commerce. Some sovereigns believe this perfidious change occurred during the Civil War, while others blame the events of 1933 when the U.S. abandoned the gold standard. They stake their lives and livelihoods on the idea that U.S. judges and lawyers, who they believe are foreign agents, know about this hidden government takeover, but argue against it, denying the sovereign's motions and filings out of treasonous loyalty to hidden and malevolent government forces. So they're all foreign actors, man. which also actually would not really surprise me, but... it says, according to sovereign citizen researchers, the government has pledged its citizenry as collateral by selling their future earnings capabilities to foreign investors, effectively enslaving all Americans. The sale, they claim, takes place at birth, like I was talking about the birth certificate. When a baby is born in the U.S., a birth certificate is issued, and the hospital usually requires the parents to apply for a Social Security number. Sovereigns say that the government then uses that birth certificate to set up a corporate trust in the baby's name, a secret treasury account, which it funds with amounts ranging from $600,000 to $20 million, depending on the particular variant of the sovereign belief system. By setting up this Treasury Direct Account, or TDA, every newborn's rights are split between those held by the flesh-and-blood baby and the ones assigned to his or her corporate shell account. And that they say evidence for this is on the birth certificate itself. And this gets into what I was talking about, the capital letters. Since most certificates use all capital letters to spell out a baby's name, like Paul Shivari, for example, is actually the name of the corporate shell identity, also called a straw man. While Paul Shivari, upper lowercase, is the baby's real flesh and blood name. As the child grows older, most of his legal documents will utilize capital letters, which means that his state-issued driver's license, your marriage license, your car registration, your criminal court records, his cable TV bill, and his correspondence from the IRS all pertain to his corporate shell identity, not his real sovereign identity. And then, you know, they get into more stuff about that, but I think you get the gist.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's interesting because I would like to find out where I can, you know, obtain my, what was it called? The trust, the TDA, the Treasury Direct Account. Where do I find that?
Yeah.
I mean, $600,000, that would do me really well right now if I could. could I opt out of this? How can I get it? So then we get into the kind of the nautical terms and why it's used. You know, why these words are used and what they actually mean, and why they're used like in legalese and the way, you know, the birth certificate and everything like that. So we're just talking about the birth certificate. Basically, it's all these kind of like, I'm sure if you actually broke down the etymology of a lot of these words, it wouldn't add up to what they're saying, but it's interesting nonetheless. It says when you put your home up on the real estate market, you put it up for sale. Right? Like a sale.
Okay. Okay.
When we are born, we're issued a berth, B-E-R-T-H, like when a ship docks.
Yeah.
And the doctor, signs your birth certificate as well as your death certificate. And that's in nautical terms, a berth is a space where a vehicle can be parked or docked for loading or unloading. When a ship's berths in a port or dock, the captain has to produce a birth certificate. It is also interesting, though, that a ship captain is one of only three people that could legally marry people, right? So there is a little tie there. When you're born, you come through your mother's birth canal through the water.
Canal, yeah.
Right? When a product leaves a warehouse, even if it's
it
gets shipped, even if it's in a truck or a train. Right.
Yeah. Why does cargo travel by sea? Shipments travel on land.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then, you know, it probably has in here currency is the current of the sea.
Okay, okay.
You know, we talk about the flow of money
yeah,
and the flow of water, right? It even says when you connect your device to a printer or a USB cable to a port.
Yeah, you dock to a yeah, port. Yeah. Liquid assets, man. That's it's all right there in front of us. It's right, water, man.
When you clean and organize a space, it's what? Ship shape.
Okay, okay.
I guess that arose from inspections during the 1800s.
Okay. And, ship shape, okay. Yeah.
And the word captain comes from the word capital, equaling money, equaling yeah, water. In nautical terms, a dock is a structure extending along shore out from the shore into a body of water to which boats may be moored. Moored means to anchor, chain, or tie down. In a courtroom setting, the dock is an enclosed space where the defendant stands or sits in a court of law. When you go to court, your case is placed on a what? A docket.
Okay.
Jury rig is another nautical term, right? It originates from the nautical word jury mast, a temporary mast made from an available pole when the mast has become damaged or lost overboard. But now a jury rigging to describe an attempt to place certain persons or jurors on a court to sway yeah, know, the decision. If you look at the old school courthouse, the railings that you pass through, if you're a plaintiff or defendant, look exactly like the railings on large sailing ships. oh, here we go. Because like I said, this all ties into the whole international banking system, right? So where do you find a bank?
Where?
On both sides of a river.
Okay. Okay.
River banks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Control the current, currency, or flow of yeah, money or water. When you're losing your home, you say your home is underwater. When you have a lot of debts, you say you're drowning in debt. When you get trouble and go to jail, someone has to bail you out. The verb bail also means to scoop water out of a boat. We say to someone, money goes through your hands like water. Many terms have the word ship in them, right? Think about that, though. Ownership, citizenship, leadership, rulership, lordship, relationship, partnership, scholarship, apprenticeship, dealership. Township, worship. And that actually is interesting. There's a book called The Lazarus Effect. It's a sci-fi book that I read many, many years ago. I'm trying to remember, look up the author was Frank Herbert and Bill Ransom. But Frank Herbert, he wrote a lot of pretty cool sci-fi stuff. But The Lazarus Effect, basically in it, it's like the kind of an ancient alien kind of thing, although it doesn't really go down that route. But basically the humans are all aboard this living spaceship, right? And the ship is kind of like their, you know, mother, or their like kind of their god, I guess, basically. Right. So in the book, it talks about that all the, you know, words we use like friendship, relationship, worship all come from because these humans came on this spaceship to Earth.
Okay.
Right? And like the ship was the god. So ship is part of all these words that we use in any kind of interpersonal relationship, right? No matter what it is. So it has this, you know, ship. Now, I looked up the etymology of ship, though, and it was something different. Comes from skip, scape, and there was like a bunch of different words. It was like German means something else than English. So, you know, a lot of the times when you get down to the etymology of it, it's like, okay, well, where are you going to go, you know, language-wise? You know, what is the definition? It doesn't always add up. But it's still interesting, you know, when you think about why do we use ship in all these words? Let's see what else. The law, like I was saying, it's common law or the law of the land is lawful. Statute law or maritime law, the law of the ocean, is what we call legal. The law of the sea, ocean, is banking law, and it's international by nature. They say that it comes from the Phoenicians, right? That maritime law came about by the way the ancient Phoenicians and Sumerians. Phoenicians were commonly known as seafaring people. The ancients symbolized the heavens as the upper ocean and used many maritime symbols to represent that. We think that a person is a human being, still under the legal definition of statute law. A person is a corporation, they say. To meet the criteria of maritime law, the Uniform Commercial Code, the person represents a ship, in effect. And I'm trying to, I wish I could find out a way, because I looked it up, but I couldn't really see any, you know, there's no websites to be able to put your birth certificate number in to find out your stock. But I really, I really want to know that.
Well, who holds the book? You know, who's the, you know, who's the gatekeeper on that one?
Mm-hmm. So then, like I said, there's that sovereign citizen movement, which there are still people that claim sovereign citizenship, but then there's the freemen on land, which I guess is the more kind of modern version of it. And according to Wikipedia, there's some crossover between the two groups, between the freemen and the sovereign citizen. The origins of both lie in the radical and racist anti-government movements in the U.S. in the 1960s and 1970s. With the ideas garnering more support during the American farm crisis of the 1980s and a financial crisis in both the U.S. and Canada in the same decade. With the advent of the internet and continuing during the 21st century, people throughout the English-speaking world who share the core beliefs of these movements, which may be loosely defined as seeing the state as a corporation with no authority over free citizens, have been able to connect and share their beliefs. There are now followers in the United Kingdom, Australia, and New Zealand. The pseudo-legal ideas used to originated with the sovereign citizen movement in the United States, and then around the turn of the 21st century began to be used by the freemen on the land movement in Canada. By the late 2000s, they had also started to spread freemen groups in the UK and other Commonwealth countries and various groups in Europe. And then there's also there's a group, the Moorish Divine Movement, which is African-Canadian, African-American variant of the sovereign citizens, believing they constitute a separate nation because they say that the Moors were here first, right? That Moorish people were here so that they're actually indigenous to the Americas, so they have their own rights, different rights, you know, kind of like how the Native Americans have their own laws on the reservations. And there's a lot, you know, like I said, there was this huge protest in Boston that I was reading about. That there was like 1,000 of them out there. And we'll get into that too, because I have a couple more of the different subsects of them. And I really want to get to the one where they tie in aliens to it, because I thought that's pretty great. And but it's interesting, like if you get into deeper into it, which we will, all the occult symbolism that's tied into like all the reasons why there's these certain symbols behind the courts and, you know, and the American flag and everything like that. So, but before we do that, we're going to take another break. And if you want to get on, give us a call at 773-763-WCPT. That's 773-763-9278. We'll be back with more Think Theory Radio. Welcome back to Think Theory Radio. This is Damien, and today we're talking about the maritime law conspiracy and the sovereign citizen movement. And before I get into some of the subsects, especially the galactic sovereigns, that's really what I just want to talk about them for the rest of the show. But before we do that, let's get in some calls. Let's go to Tim in Lombard. What's going on, Tim?
Hey, guys, just listening to your show. As always, it's a pretty interesting show.
Thank you.
I want to come out in defense of international law.
Okay.
It's a very good thing. And I'll tell you why. I'm a merit badge counselor, and one of the merit badges I teach is citizenship in the world. And we're going through the merit badge with the scouts, and we get to this one point, we talk about international law and international courts. And when I go through that merit badge, I put up a picture of my buddy Herman, Hermann Göring. And one thing that always amazes the scouts is not one single Jew that they murdered in Germany was ever held accountable for, because he did it He did it under German domestic law.
Mm.
It was all under German domestic law. The Nuremberg laws made everything they did to their own citizens legal. What they were held accountable for at Nuremberg was what they did outside of Germany, because that came under the Geneva Convention, international law.
Okay.
So international law is a good thing.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that for sure. And there, you know, the World Court and everything. Although I feel like the World Court doesn't hold a lot of water, but you know,
but well, it would if some countries would join it, like
yeah,
us.
Right, like the U.S. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. No, I agree with you. It's interesting though. Like I think within this, you know, this theory system here, though, I think it's slightly different what their interpretation of international law is.
Well, they don't want any accountability,
right?
But this is a case where international law did hold someone accountable.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, though. That's a great one to bring up. But I guess it would be hard, though, to argue that with you know, sovereign citizens who believe that, you know, the Jews are running the world. So they wouldn't, you know, buy
into. They might have a different interpretation of the right. of what happened at Nuremberg, but that's another story.
Exactly.
Great show, guys.
Thanks a lot, Tim. All right, let's stay in Lombard and go to Dan. What's going on, Dan?
Hey, Lombard rules, apparently, tonight.
Yeah.
So, listen, this has been a really entertaining show. And
thanks.
To go to your maritime thing, more so because I can actually understand some of this stuff. It's still nuts, but
yeah.
I can still understand it. Because when you start talking celestial and galactic stuff, you lose me. I love them. But. So, I basically, what I get from this, first of all, we're all sort of sovereign citizens. We're responsible for our own behavior, but our sovereign citizens have a problem. They live in the toddler, petulant world of, you're not the boss of me.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, until they get the handcuffs clapped on them, they think they're immune from the, and they will sit in court and say, I reject what you're saying to me, and I am not being bound by you, but you are in jail, and you can believe what you want to believe, but the government, that thing that we, you know, kind of love to hate,
mm-hmm.
something we've all agreed on, either tacitly or actively when we go to vote. I think my favorite thing is taxes as a subscription price of living in the country for the year, and your childhood is the free trial period.
Mm-hmm.
And so, bottom line is, I love these people until, you know, they get dangerous and they will shoot law enforcement, like you mentioned. And the whole thing with the sheriff thing is just absolutely delightful. We're not in medieval times, and this is not Nottingham Forest. Please stop.
You don't want to be a posse comitatus?
Well, you know, and I get these guys in a sense that they... I don't want anybody to tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a red light right now. Should I just go through because I don't believe in them?
Right.
The answer is I can do that, but at my peril and the peril of people around me. We have rules and regulations in society. I think Tom Hartman says, would you enjoy watching a football game without referees or rules? And the answer is no, because we wouldn't even know how it came out, because it would be reduced to a brawl pretty quickly.
Yeah.
That's what society is. We got to have guardrails. We have to have rules. We all love games, but in bowling, if you go over the foul line, that ball doesn't count. And if the cards get flipped over, that's a dead hand. We all live with rules in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we would love to make all of my rules, as I always say, make me king of the universe for a week, and I can have the universe destroyed in 5 days.
Mm.
And the thing is, that's true for all of us. None of it's ever done right if it's someone else doing it, but we would do it wrong in another way. So I get a kick out of these people. Like I said, they're a bunch of toddlers stamping their feet. I'd love to think that my life is completely mine,
mm-hmm.
has no bearing on anybody else's. I'm a father, and I'm a husband, and I have a job. And I'm responsible to all the people who are around me, and they're responsible to me. That's what... True, that's the compact that we have. If I come up to you, Damien, and say, give me all your money, and I haven't produced the weapon, but you got to say in your head, what is Dan going to do to me if I don't give him all his money? And I'm not sure what, he looks a little nutty. He may hand over everything you own when I don't even own a weapon. I've intimidated you because I broke the social contract.
Mm-hmm.
It's not okay for me to come up to random people that I know or don't even know and say, give me all your money. That's called assault. It's called a robbery. We don't have to produce a weapon. The law says we don't have to produce a weapon. All I have to do is feel threat.
Yeah.
It's saying a bank robbery. Bottom line is, I find these people very entertaining. I do enjoy how they drag all the nautical stuff. And I'm thinking about chinks in your armor. Well, you chink a boat by putting caulking in between the. So, you know, we could go through. And the reason those nautical terms are so important, in its day, the technology of being able to sail around the world and sail for trade, that was the internet. That was everything. That was technology in its peak. When you had the cutters and the Cutty Sarks and those kinds of, with the massive sails, those things were the absolute speedboats of their time. And they have had records and, you know, we beat this by 2 hours. That was the internet. That was the peak technology of its time. So we stole all those terms. And there was a huge number of people employed in those industries.
Oh, for sure.
All of the things that went around it. So it just like we use those terms, it was the first technological revolution. The Phoenicians are known today because they traveled everywhere.
Yeah.
The Romans because they killed everyone.
Right.
but it is commerce, and it was the first worldwide, or more than, like, I could go and sail a boat 24 hours a day with a rotating crew and travel with more things further with less effort than any other way. And so it was an amazing technology. And if you look at old ships and how they took advantage of things, we're just figuring it out now, like, oh, when the air came off of that sail and went to the other sail, this is what actually is happening, and it actually accelerates the boat faster.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that they're using all these nautical terms, but this has been the most I've laughed out loud several times.
I mean, it makes sense too when you think about exactly what you just said. And I was thinking about this earlier, you know, reading all this stuff. You know, if you think about all the, you know, colonialism and everything that's happened, you know, in history to get us to the point where we are in the United States of America was because of seafaring merchants and boats. You know, so it would make sense that nautical terms would be kind of common in our language, considering the fact that, well, most people came here on boats, and these were the first people to kind of, you know, come in. I'm not, you know, excusing them from certain things they did.
Even with flight and jet technology and huge jets, we still measure the strength of a country by the size of their navy in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
We have, I think, 9 supercarriers. The rest of the world has 2. And we can project massive amounts on that aircraft carrier in 24 hours. They can drop enough bombs to make Dresden look like they weren't trying.
Yeah.
Because of just the advancement in technology. But the sailing technology and the ability to trade and the mixing of cultures and people was so revolutionary. It was the first revolution, the second revolution, industrial revolution, and, you know, so forth and so on.
Yeah.
But it was the first technology. It's still the cheapest way to move something other than railroad is barge.
Yeah. Yeah. And no, so, I mean, that's great stuff.
Yeah, taking too much time.
Thank you. It's all good. No, great stuff, Dan. I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And, let's get in one more call before I get into the Galactic Sovereigns before we wrap up the show. Let's go, Steve in the Gold Coast.
It's an amusing topic. And as the previous caller pointed out, I did want to make the point that there are limitations to arguing that this took place within my society under a law that we passed in our society, and therefore I'm absolved of any responsibility. And no, in fact, in the former Yugoslavia, We prosecuted and jailed a great many people who were responsible for the war crimes that took place in that country.
Mm-hmm.
And under international law, secession is not a form in which you can assert yourself in terms of sovereignty. So you cannot decide, well, we're going to secede because we don't like the laws here, and therefore any action anyone takes against us is an action against a foreign state. Now, the international law does not allow for that. So that's point number one. Point number two, you cannot commit a crime against humanity and claim that, okay, well, hey, it was perfectly fine. It was committed domestically, and therefore the international community has no jurisdiction. No, mm-hmm. You can commit mass murder domestically and then just claim, oh, well, hey, our law said it was fine to do that against Jewish people.
Right.
Not the way that it works. And then lastly, sovereign citizens, I mean, the other people have already pointed out that these are wackos who basically decided to log on to the internet and find some nutty interpretation of the Constitution. This is how Wesley Snipes ended up in jail, because he believed one of these crazy sites that told him that, hey, there's a loophole that says you don't have to pay taxes, and it's perfectly constitutional. Well, I mean, if you want to go ahead and do this, you know, you can log on to YouTube and see these morons arguing with police, and you will end up behind bars. And
yeah.
You can yell at the judge. I mean, you know, show me one of these idiots that wins one of these cases, and I'm willing to listen, but... You know what? The only thing that's going to get you is, you know, time behind bars. You can yell all you want to other prisoners all day long, you know, about sovereign citizen movement and, you know, sovereignty and all this other nonsense, but it's not going to get you anywhere. And
no.
You're still going to do your time.
If anything, you probably get more time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they alienate judges. They won't allow themselves to accept counsel even when it's free. I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing in the world. But, I mean, this is the age of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
People think that, hey, if it's online and somebody sounds like they know what they're talking about, it just might be true. So when a cop pulls me over, I'm going to tell him, no, I wasn't driving. I was traveling. You've heard this one, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And, just wackos. And, you know, I mean, like I said, you know, you want to go ahead and have that debate with a police officer, you're going to lose. I'm sorry, you are not going to win. And nobody's going to say to you, oh, sure, sir. Well, yeah, I see you printed this out on your printer at home. Well, be on your way. I'm sorry we stopped.
Right, exactly.
No, not going to happen that way.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree with you, Stephen. Thanks for the call. And then I'd add to that, too, is that, you know, it's funny that, like, I saw a quote from one of the judges who was dealing with sovereign citizens said, you know, they don't want to pay taxes, but they're perfectly fine driving on the roads that are paid for by taxes. They're perfectly fine going to the hospitals that are paid for by taxes, or utilizing, you know, you got to call a fire department. Your house is burning. That's paid for by taxes. And, you know,
like
so on and so forth.
A libertarian, you know,
mm-hmm,
like
exactly
supports the police, but doesn't want to pay taxes.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you probably, and I guarantee you, you know, especially with the racist elements of it, you know, you think they're like, well, I don't recognize the laws of this country, but then they'll probably be this first, you know, the first one to be like, well, if you don't like this country, then leave it. And it's like, well, you don't like that. So why don't you go somewhere else? You know? So there's, like I said, there's, it's, even though, like, you know, like Steve said, it's kind of wacky and weird, but there's a lot of people that really believe this. And unfortunately, like you said, with the internet, there's probably going to be more and more people that start believing this. And, I suggest anybody who's thinking about believing in it, research it a little more and make sure you don't go into the court, you know, trying to use this, because you probably will just exacerbate things. But so you have the different sovereigns, you have the common law court, National Assembly members, you have the constitutional sovereigns, you have the Moorish sovereigns, like I was talking about earlier, you have the tax protesters, but then there's the galactic sovereigns. And a small number of sovereigns hold a concurrent belief that friendly aliens will visit Earth, and they're actively planning for this occurrence, or believe that public officials and other individuals are reptilian aliens. Many of these believers and some additional sovereigns subscribe to a conspiracy theory called Nacera. This theory purports that 15 trusted members of Congress, and at the time, President Clinton, but then I've seen it and moved on to Trump, you know, it's whoever's in office, signed a bill in a secret in the year 2000 known as the National Economic... the National Economic Security and Reformation Act, NACERA. They think this law would have abolished the IRS and income tax, returned the form of constitutional law to America that sovereigns believe was secretly replaced by maritime law, end war, and establish world peace. That sounds good. Sovereigns think powerful groups have kept this law secret, though, through gag orders and sabotage. And when it looked like it would be publicly introduced on September 11th, 2001, what happened? The most prominent believers include Sheldon Neddle, Anna von Reitz, and Destry Payne, co-leader of the Sovereign Group National Assembly. Yeah. So, and then I even read, because I was telling you, they don't acknowledge like the presidency, but the QAnon groups have gotten into this too, because they kind of subscribe to this stuff. And they were saying that that's why Trump is actually going to be inaugurated on March 4th.
The original inauguration.
Yeah, because that was in 1871 on March 4th is when the U.S. became a corporation. So, so he's going to be inaugurated on March 4th, and then he'll be the last president of the United States. All right. Well, that's it for the show. And
we need something reassuring after that.
Yeah. You know, drop that.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Yeah. Hold on. Well, then I got a needle skip. Hold on.
We made it, son. International waters. The land that law forgot.
Wow. You can do anything out here.
That's right. See that ship over there? They're rebroadcasting Major League Baseball with implied oral consent, not express written consent. Or so the legend goes. There are no laws! We can do anything we want! Anything!
What kind of law do you practice?
Maritime. Lawyers of the Sea.